The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Midland, everybody.
Hey, yo.
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. This can't possibly be true because what I'm seeing here is that in addition to our standard Zach and Crack on Thursday, Zach Cohen with some NBA draft thoughts and bets perhaps in round two and tennis and some NFL, by the way, from Zach and Unscripted with the Crack Man Bill Krakenberger. Are we sure? Estamos seguros. And is this true? Greg Hoops Peterson on the show today?
Hoops. Hoops is here. He's pushed back his bedtime just for us, Gil.
Did you have to pay him to come on the show?
No. No arm twisting whatsoever.
Free,
yes.
Wow.
He did inform me about a month ago. He was like, hey, it's out of basketball now. I'm going to be going to bed a little bit later. And yes, you guys are hearing me correctly. He's going to be going to bed later to stay up and do these.
I just want to say, I have it perfectly timed for me to come into the show each and every morning. So 6:30 5 Pacific. I have to get in my car and start the 15 minute trek over here to the lovely Circa Studios, so that I have like 10 minutes cushion. And as soon as I get in the car today, I'm like, let me turn on the show that precedes us by the books with Captain America Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And the first thing I hear from Dave Ross is he's like, I really like the Raw Dog. I'm leaning into the Raw Dog. I'm surprised the market is going against the Raw Dog. And I was just like, this is an aggressive radio program. People should really listen to this a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm being told in my ear that that's a UFC fight.
Might have had some laughs in the control room about that, too. Yep.
Just curious.
Yep.
NBA draft. Mazel tov to the both of us.
That was well. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, Gil.
Yeah. Listen, can I tell you what Joe Pita said? Because this is... Here's the thing with, again, these are information-based drafts, and mm-hmm. we were very honest, and, you know, a lot of what we're doing here is based on the Luke Swain Vegas refund and Chris Felica sort of intel early on.
But I think both those guys cleaned up, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they both did pretty damn well. I hope so.
I mean, we pitched a shutout, or at least I went the tidy 3-0 as Con Knepel goes top five, but specifically he goes number four.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these were bets made just a few days earlier than when these were. And when I say prohibitive favorites, I mean ridiculous favorites, right? So last night, by the end, Con Knepel, and I want to get this exactly right, was a minus, was it 991 favorite?
It was over minus 900 you sent me, yes.
Yes, I'll give the first four picks in the draft by draft time yesterday. This is at offshore, this is at Bookmaker, were, well, first of all, Cooper Flagg wasn't even offered at the top. Then Dylan Harper, minus 20,000 to go number two. Whew, that was quite an interview afterwards, if you know what I mean. Vijay Edgecombe right after that, minus 985 to go third to whoever picked third. It's Philly who stayed right there. And then Con Knepel, our guy, minus 991 to go fourth. So getting ahead of those and getting plus money on, but we'll get even money top five and then plus money. This is just sort of not saying, hey, look at us. It's this is what drafts can be sometimes.
Yeah, you know what I like about, like, you know what I like/hate about the NBA one, though? It's just it all happens so much quicker, right? We spend weeks talking about the NFL stuff,
correct.
And this is like it all happens in a matter of a week.
The boxing term is a jab and move.
Like I always enjoy when people complain about a move in the draft, the NBA draft. It's like 36 hours ago, it was 9-1. Yeah. Like, and now it's down. It's like, yeah, things move quick in the NBA draft world.
However, after the top four, that's when the shenanigans began.
Yeah.
And so this is why, may I just insert this little piece? This is why when sports books go around not posting this stuff, right? Or they say, oh, there's just not enough interest in it, which is their code for we're just too lazy to put it up or we don't want the anxiety of putting it up because God forbid they have a loss leader in what they offer. These books could have made money after this. They probably would have made money if they had just posted some of these because then it was kind of mayhemish after that. So as long as you stuck to the top four, you were good to go. But Ace Bailey goes to the Jazz right after that. Now, Ace Bailey, who was not working out for anybody and had no idea in his own words if the Jazz, you know, where the Jazz had him on the board. He wanted to go to Washington at six. The Jazz step in at five, not step in. They had the fifth pick. They end up picking the standout guard from Rutgers. And this has all kinds of Stevie Francis vibes. Stevie Francis out of Maryland, who was drafted in the 1999 draft. I think he was the third pick in that draft, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a D.C. kid, went to Maryland, clearly did not want to go to Vancouver, right? He visited a couple other places that were not Vancouver. It was too far from home. He cited tax. He came up with all kinds of reasons. Anyway, they draft him invisibly.
Yeah.
His expression, Stevie Francis in 1999, was like, oh, my God, I can't believe. Like, imagine getting you're the third pick in the draft, Kelly, and you're like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And Stevie Francis forced a trade to Houston. And he was like a co-rookie of the year. He went to a few All-Star games. But you know what? All I remember about his career is that. And so
Francis is a good player.
Yeah. That's all I remember. That's what I remember first and foremost. So, you know, time will tell. Ace Bailey may turn out to warm to the idea of going to Utah. But that's where he's going. And then the Wizards, who always sort of get screwed in these, they end up with Trey Johnson, who they're saying they're thrilled with.
I think it's a great landing spot for him. I mean, he's a scorer, right? One of the pure scorers in this draft. And like the Wizards got plenty of room on the roster to say, hey, here's the ball, go do your thing. Ace Bailey stuff's interesting. I think we have gotten to a point in pro sports, whether we're talking NFL, whether we talk NBA, you hear some of these guys. I don't want to play there. I don't want to play. Guess what? Once you get drafted, show up or don't show up and skip a paycheck, and then let's see what happens, right? It's a lot easier to say when money's not on the line, but Utah kind of calling his bluff. I'll tell you, though, this 4-6 range, Gil, I mean, it really sounds like, okay, there were calls in, that there were reports before the draft, the Jazz and Celtics were talking about a possible trade. The Jazz kept their cards so close to the vest, right, that people didn't really know what was going on with them, that there were then reports about the Wizards trying to jump up to 4 because I think they were scared that Trey Johnson was going to go, which would have blown up our draft completely.
Yes, it would have, because we saw there was a text exchange where there was movement on that happening.
Right.
Yes.
Because the Hornets were thinking, oh, yeah, we can move back 2 spots and still get Khan, but they didn't know what the Jazz were going to do. So they kind of had to stay put and take Khan at 4. So I think we got a little saved there.
Cedric Coward ends up going to Memphis at 11, or as Malik Andrews said, Colin Coward drafted at 11, which is a very easy,
just talking about that,
very easy mistake to make. I almost made it yesterday, by the way. she's getting, you know, comical incoming from that. The single most surprising thing, though, was the 16th pick in the draft. Which again was actually dealt with the 11th Cedric Coward, which was the Grizzlies, who then traded it back to Portland, right? The Coward Hansen thing was the trade. But at 16, Yang Hansen from China, which nobody had him anywhere mocked before, like the 37th pick in the draft, meaning tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, and he was in the stands.
Oh, Zach Cohen was losing his mind. He was like, this guy wasn't in a mock draft anywhere. What are we talking about? And Savannah, I think if you got the video, you can run it. But yeah, in the stands. This is dude getting drafted, 16th overall. Life-changing moment about to happen.
That's me. Hey, guys. I'm up here. Right here. Look at me. 16th pick, baby.
Look at the poor photog who had to run up there with a camera too to cover it for ESPN.
It's like he won the best costume design at the Oscars. That's where the seat is. He's all the way up there.
Couldn't get him a table.
Listen, but part of that's funny too, right? Like our buddy Zach, who'll be joining us momentarily. Like the fact that we, and I'm pairing myself with Zach here. The fact that we even have the audacity to get upset over something like that. It wasn't mocked anywhere, right? As if we've lived with this for all of 6 days.
right.
You know, how dare they not pick someone who's mocked over there? And then I think, Kelly, we both can agree the biggest moment in the draft was at 26 and 27. I know you feel the way I do. Ladies and gentlemen, representing only two-tenths of world population, but 6.67% of the first round of the NBA draft.
There you go.
Ben Saraf at 26, and then Danny Wolf at 27, both going to Brooklyn. Two tribesmen, back-to-back. It's never happened before in NBA history.
And the Nets. The Nets kept, what, 4 of their 5? I have no idea what's going on in Brooklyn. Do not even ask me. I think
who's more perplexing to you, Brooklyn or Portland?
I'll still go Brooklyn because it's too easy to say what we've been saying the past three, or to do what we've been saying the past couple days of package these together, move up for a more impactful player You picked four guys. You have no idea what you're going to get out of them in the first round. The Portland one, that's tough to explain, too. You drafted another big man where you've got a ton of centers on your... It's Ayton, Robert Williams, Donovan Clagan. You just drafted a year ago. I don't really understand what's going on there. And then I think these teams, Gil, that you've heard me talk about for years, they just keep pulling me back in. When I think I'm done with them, they just keep pulling me back in. We talked about the Atlanta Hawks already earlier this week. I liked the Porzingis trade more because what was it going to mean further in this offseason? What were they going to try to do with this team? They made a great trade with the Pelicans. Pelicans got greedy. I like what the... And I'm talking about both teams. Pelicans are going to be a fun team, but I don't think what they did last night was really all that smart. Atlanta made smart moves. Pelicans able to get Fears was awesome. I don't think they thought Fears was going to fall to him, so they went and pulled the trigger there. But then they could not help themselves when they saw that Derek Queen was still there at 13. They had to pull the trigger on a trade and traded way too much to go up and get him. I mean, it's going to be potentially another lottery pick going back to Atlanta next year.
How did you end up doing? So I ended up 3-0. I had the two Knepel, Asenge over 9.5. He ended up getting picked 12th. By the Chicago Bulls. And so again, this is not, we relied a lot on intel. Joe Pita was like, congratulations on the 3-0, as so many people were kind enough to do on Twitter. And I said, well, you know, leaning on some intel. And you know what he said in his Wall Street way? He goes, listen, money's still green. Ready for this sentence? He goes, also, distillation of information and capital allocation is a separate skill from modeling. I was like, you damn right,
for
Joe.
Sure. That's what I say exactly all the time, right. Joe.
Yes, what you said. Coming back with Greg Hoops Peterson on Baseball Primarily next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Circa Resort, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Hey, don't forget, this is... if you want to bet smarter, and I know you do, Visa Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday. Tuesday, that is what? 5 days from today. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. That's Tuesday, July 1st. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. It's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. Sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics tools and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, before we get to Greg here, the answer to the question of how you did ultimately was?
Yeah, 5-3 on those bets that we had and up about 9 units. The only ones that really... So Carter Bryant under, that one stunk because that was kind of more fully staked. But then the only other ones I missed were the longer shots. So Fears to go 5th at plus 350, which as we got close to the draft, I was getting really excited about because what were we seeing? We were seeing close to minus 200 on him near closing time to go 5th overall. And then the Jazz went their way. And then the Cedric Coward one, top 10, that I know Felica was all over as well, over 4-1. He ends up going 11th. So just missed out on those, but it was a nice night. Did just pull up Luke 8-3 for 40, up plus 40 units. His worst draft in 4 years, Gil.
8-3.
He's washed.
Jeez, put him to bed.
By the way, together, Swain.
You sent me that DraftKings most popular prop bets thing, and it's all Luke's bets.
That's
how much influence.
And they all hit. The top 5 bets made at DraftKings, and all of them won.
By the way, I mentioned Flag wasn't even offered at 1, but then Harper -20,000 at 2, Edgecombe -985 at 3, and Knepel ended up -991 to go exactly 4th. But after that, Fears at 5 was the favorite at draft time at -180. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Bailey at 6 was -181. That didn't happen. No, I mean, none of them happened after that, right? Queen was the short shot at 7, plus 142. Malowicz plus 178 at 8. Asenge minus 102 at 9. And then Queen again at 10, plus 270. And none of that happened.
Jazz screwed it up. Right. I mean, right. Yeah. Nobody knew what the Jazz were going to do. And once they did that, the rest of it was a little wonky and out of order.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a treat for us because I don't think he's been on the show in years. It's got to have at least been 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now you're getting uncomfortable.
I'm gonna go 2 or 3 years.
I think it's been 14 years since he's been on the show. Greg Hoops Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Greg, a VSiN host throughout the years, and he joins us now all dressed up. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great, Gil. Always glad to be on with you. And man, oh man, we've got a lot that's going on with the NBA draft, baseball, and never too early to get started for not just football season, but college basketball season.
Well, can I ask you, you're the perfect person actually to have on after the first round, because just from a non-betting perspective, just from a basketball perspective, you have a better sense of these players than almost anybody. What, in your opinion, was the steal of this draft?
Man, I think that is so interesting what you saw towards the bottom half of it. Liam McNeely going at 29. Like, how that guy fell that far, because you saw what UConn was versus was not with him on the court. I thought that that guy was going to be going in like the mid to high teens. I thought that he was someone that was going to be falling out of the lottery, that's for sure. But I thought that there was going to for sure be a team that stepped up at like 18, 19. Maybe the Nets package up two of their late picks to be able to go up and be able to get them. The fact that, by the way, the Nets kept every single one of their picks, I thought that that was rather outrageous. I thought that they for sure were going to be making a little bit of a move. But I think that Liam McNeely, getting him at 29, pairing him up with Konkan Ipple at 4, I actually really think that the Hornets, I can't remember the last time we said this, they got a win. They had a really nice night.
Got a win. Okay, and since you mentioned, and your middle name is Hoops, and since you mentioned it's never too early to talk about college basketball, I know it's much more difficult these days to predict college basketball, college football for that matter as well, this far in advance. But is there a Greg Peterson nugget that you might, that's sort of, you know, off the radar that might, you know, sort of catch the attention of folks, that you have an opinion that's a little more strong than the market?
I think that Florida has a good chance to be able to get back to the Final Four this year, with them just being able to bring back that entire front court and the fact that they replaced their guards, which we saw Walter Clayton go in the draft yesterday, and he was so rock solid for them. But Boogie Fland is a guy that easily could have been a first-round pick in the draft last night had he not come back for NIL money, had he decided that he was going to be staying in the draft. And that's something that we've seen as well. Like, with some of these guys that would have been able to go in the first round, some of them returned to school, like Yaxel Lendeborg, who's over at Michigan. He easily would have been a first-round pick. I feel like Taj Pettiford, who went back to Auburn, he easily could have been a first-round pick as well. So if you're wondering why on a scale of 1 to 10, last night's draft maybe was a little bit more mid-tier than we were expecting for a lot of drafts, it's because a lot of these guys actually returned to school, and a lot of these guys are staying in school because they're going to make more in NIL money rather than going in the NBA draft, and Boogie Flynn was one of those guys. So I do think that Florida, well, I can't have them number one because Purdue, I just love the backcourt that they've got. They pick up Oscar Clough in the transfer portal. That's probably going to be my number one team when it comes to the start of the season. I feel like Florida has a very good chance to be a top five team once again.
All right. So for those who are unfamiliar with Greg, by the way, we were just talking to Greg off air, checking in on him. Still, he runs 12 miles a day, doesn't take a day off. The man is a machine, as Brent Musburger once said. But you do a podcast, and so now you're in baseball mode. Give us a sense of how often you do this, then when do you transition to college basketball, and how long can those podcasts be sometimes?
Oh, the college basketball podcast has at points gotten up to 6 hours, and the college basketball podcast never stops. The last time I went today without a college basketball podcast was November of 2019. Wow. It kept going every single day throughout COVID because I just frankly needed something to do. And because now you've got 364 Division I teams, there were 2,570 players that entered in the transfer portal. It's a all year round sport. Like, trying to decipher north of 2,500 guys entering in the portal. By the way, there were fewer guys that didn't enter in the portal rather than did. So if you want an easier list, the amount of guys that did not enter into the transfer portal is actually a very much easier one. But that's why it goes every single day. And then with that, we also do the baseball betting show every day, which you get games on as well. And those are more like 90 one-hour-minute podcasts. Those are much more manageable.
Bless America. So you do those every day too. 90-minute podcast every day on baseball. Full slate.
On baseball, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, what did you land on today? Have you had a chance to look at it? And what are you betting?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of the early games, which that's all but one of them, by the way. We've got one late game between the Atlanta Braves and the Mets. And in that game, I did land on the Mets with them being a rather pick 'em, but I feel like Shohei Imanaga is going to come off of the injured list and is actually going to land a good start. Typically, with these guys coming off the injured list, I'm very tepid to be trusting in them because typically they have a little bit of rust. But he looked really good in his three minor league rehab starts. He gets 16 strikeouts in 10 and a third innings, scoreless innings in all of them. And I do think that going up against the St. Louis Cardinals team that while they've been able to manufacture a lot of runs, they rank in the bottom eight in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. I think that that helps them out quite a bit. And additionally, with this Cubs team, if you look at things ever since May 1st, they've had a lot of guys like Daniel Palencia, Drew Pomeranz, go down the list of guys with a sub-3 ERA that have come out of nowhere, so far from out of nowhere that they have the number one bullpen ERA in the big leagues since May 1st. So I did land on the Cubs on the money line, and that total of 9, I recognize that the Cubs offense is really good. I do think that Andre Pallante is pitching a little bit better, so I think he does his part with this as well. I like the under and the Cubs on the money line.
Wow, okay. You have any more this morning?
Oh, absolutely. The under in terms of this Kansas City Royals versus Tampa Bay Rays game, that total is 10, and I have no idea why. Like, I recognize that it's getting a little bit warmer out there in Kansas City, recognize that there's a little bit of wind. The Royals are averaging fewer than 2.9 runs per game at home. They have not shown a heartbeat on offense all season long. The Wizard of Oz, Shane Boz, has given up 3 runs or fewer in 4 out of his last 5 starts, and he's backed up by a Rays bullpen that is right there at the top of the American League in terms of bullpen ERA. Likes of Eric Orze, Manuel Rodriguez, they've all been so rock solid for the team. And the Royals bullpen is honestly relatively solid as well. I'm also seeing that at minus 120. I landed on the Tampa Bay Rays money line. Been very impressed by them. I think that they give chase the Yankees in the AL East. They're probably built a little bit more for 162 games rather than a 5 or 7 game postseason series. But I like the Rays on the money line, and I like that under.
All right, let's squeeze in one more. We got time for one more.
All right, how about if we do squeeze in Toronto Blue Jays versus the Cleveland Guardians? That total is 8. Recognize that Kevin Gausman has struggled, but Tanner Bibee is so good at home. 250 ERA with 0.75 home runs per 9 innings allowed when he's at home. Blue Jays have been a bottom 6 offense in terms of runs per game away from home. Rather pick them game, like the Cleveland Guardians on the money line, and I like that under.
All right, Greg, listen, GUnit _81, by the way, for those who want more of Greg Peterson's plays in baseball and beyond. He lists them all there. Can we do this regularly, Greg? Is that in the cards? Can we do this?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, the man says. Thank you, Greg. Great seeing you, man.
Always great to be out with you guys. Thank you.
Greg Peterson, everybody, waking up early for us. He goes to bed earlier now and wakes up early. We just got word on that, so we're thrilled to see him, man. We'll come back. Zach Cohen, NBA, tennis, next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VISA200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Hoops by Hoots. Shout out to Will Hill for just strolling in yesterday and giving out a 5-0.
Boom. That's
Will
right.
Will Hill rolling on in 5-0 with his bets yesterday. Bang. Super Jerk. Yeah, I enjoyed the NBA draft like I enjoyed my last kidney stone. He's always very, very happy guy.
Big drawing tomorrow. I don't want to say I've got a 1 or 2 or 3 people that I'm rooting for, but oh man, if Super Jerk won, I would not be upset.
What Kelly is referring to, and we've gone a half an hour without mentioning, is that tomorrow's the big drawing for a free Circa Millions and Circa Survivor entry. So we're going to give out 2 free entries courtesy of WinnerCircleProxy.com. The deadline was last night. We have thousands, literally, Kelly, thousands of folks who signed up for this. Bill AD is going to pick 10 of these folks randomly.
As they like if you're interested, if you're going to be playing Circa Millions or Circa Survivor anyways, you should just enter this contest. Like there is nothing. You're just going to get a free entry. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we can't anymore. They can't enter anymore. The deadline is passed.
They can't.
Right. But thousands entered. We know that. We got word on that. Bill Ady is going to sift through and randomly select 10, because we're not going to randomly select through thousands here on the show.
Yeah.
But he'll give us 10, and we will select tomorrow one free Millions entry and one free Survivor entry from those that signed up.
10 names go in a literal hat, and we will pull out two.
A literal hat. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. Still thinking about how Mother Wolf was playing OPP by Naughty by Nature when we walked in. Yeah, I went to Mother Wolf with Timmy the other night, and that's what was playing.
Was it your first time eating there?
Second time. Pasta is perfecto.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable.
Really good.
Las Vegas. Yo, shout out to young Kelly Bidlin. Preach, sir. All these players should be grateful and blessed to play in the NBA. Kelly and I would take their place in a second, maybe. Harold Irving. The two tribesmen now in Brooklyn are going to love their new mayor. Chris Heath, GP on next. Can we discuss volume betting? Oh, I forget. He's a volume shooter. You saw that with all of his bets right there. And then Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars. Looking forward to G-Unit's appearance this morning. Always good baseball info. One question, though, when I listen to his podcast, is there any way I can change the setting on the broadcast to 0.5 speed so I can follow in real time? See what he did there? We have tons of tweets. We'll get to them, but I want to talk to Zach Cohen first. Part of the glue that holds this whole operation together and half of the Zach and Crack comedy duo that appears on A Numbers Game every Thursday. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Betting on X is where you can follow him on Twitter. Zach, it was not the greatest draft for you were saying off air?
Yeah, I lost a little bit. I mean, the Essengay play ended up killing me. I feel really bad about that one. It was a big play for me. I tried to trust the information and ended up going, 12 to the Bulls, which I don't love that landing spot for him. So that was kind of a double loss there. But yeah, it wasn't the worst night in the world. I needed Kalkbrenner to go in the first round to end up winning anything, but ended up losing at the end.
Kalkbrenner and Jani Broome still available for teams here in the second round. Are we betting the second round? How widespread are these props available? What are you seeing?
I haven't bet anything on the second round. I haven't looked since last night. I wrote up a recap to the draft, some early takeaways, but I did not see any second round picks when I was looking there, so I didn't end up taking anything.
Yeah, there was nothing at DraftKings this morning, which kind of surprised me, actually.
Because it had come up in a few years past, if I'm not mistaken.
FanDuel does have stuff up.
FanDuel. There you go.
But, okay, it's literally the number 31 and number 32 overall pick. That's it.
And then it's
maybe more the rest of the day. It's a long time here.
Yeah. By the way, we should shout out our guy, Rafael Barlow, who did have Hanson Yang on his radar, apparently.
Oh, really?
According to ATL Dorn.
Okay, yeah, well, there you go.
It, totally correct in saying no one had him on the radar except for Raphael. Thanks for having him this week. Great guest as always, longtime listener, first time tweeter. Good luck to y'all. Thank you, ATL Dorn. All right. Any tennis today? Grass court for you, Zach, at all?
I currently have Quarantine Moutet against Lerner Tien, just a match that we have seen before, but the last time we saw it, Moutet was sick and like slipped in the shower or some really strange story. But I do think Moutet is a better grass court player than Tien, and to get him at plus money odds, it was like plus 104. I thought it was a really tough value to turn down. And I was texting with Kelly about Wimbledon a little bit. He asked me for some picks, and I am looking forward to the show on Friday. And I do think that there's some value on our guy Novak Djokovic heading into that tournament. I just thought he looked really sharp at the French Open. I thought that the match against Sinner, which obviously was a straight set loss, I thought it was really competitive. And I don't think that he's going to have to hit, through Sinner as much on grass. It'll be a little bit easier for him to just kind of serve to his spots, which he always does, and, hit through the court a little bit. It's easier on the grass. So I think that if you're looking for a value play at Wimbledon, it's really Djokovic or nothing, because I don't like those 150 prices on Alcaraz or Sinner. If those two play each other in the final, you'll get a decent price.
Tomorrow, what Zach is referring to is after a numbers game, Zach, Drew Dinsick, and I are doing our Wimbledon post-draw podcast of the Beating the Book feed. And I love are you noticing this, Zach, that you and Drew have this sort of, I don't want to say perennial, but slam by slam struggle now on Djokovic, where he is completely anti Djokovic and you're still holding on to that possibility of 25?
Yeah, I had him to win the quarter last time, which ended up winning, but I did kind of talk myself into him winning the tournament a little bit as that went on and that lost. I don't know for sure if he has a great shot. Playing Alcaraz or Sinner at his age is going to be really difficult, but I just hate the prices that we're seeing on the two favorites. It makes it very difficult to play them.
A little nugget before tomorrow on the lady side, if you would share.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be taking some shots. I don't really trust Sabalenka on grass. I think that she's probably, rightfully the favorite here, but I haven't seen anything from any of the favorites that suggests that they should be, that much ahead of players like Keys, players like Quinwen Zheng, if she's healthy. I just think that there's a chance we're going to see another long shot Wimbledon winner. Maybe not as long as Barbora Krejcikova from last year, but I do think you're going to get a good payout on whoever wins.
Yeah, I'm still just stunned you were able to talk Drew into doing this. Where he, like, is he going to be in an ocean kayak tomorrow? Is he going to be rock climbing?
Even better than that, as you pointed out, was Drew's surprise that we had this opinion of him on Friday. Like, Drew, we know you do stuff on
Friday. I made a Napa joke, yeah. And he was like, that's next week, and how do you know that? I'm like, you go to Napa like six times a year, man.
Oh, man. Anyway, we look forward to that, Zach. Thanks for being a part of that tomorrow, as always. Tennis Hardo's post-draw will have a better read on some of this stuff. Or maybe we won't. Maybe the draw will be such where we'll be like, yeah, same opinions. Okay. To the NFL betting guide, which is being dropped here. We all got our stuff in. Yes, everybody hit the deadline. Even I did.
My stuff was in on Saturday.
I think everything was in. Okay. I don't think anybody's late. I'm going to double check after this. I think we're good.
Okay. So you are heavily involved in this?
Yeah. I did a lot of writing. I did a lot of editing. It's been a tough week between this and the draft, but I'll get some sleep soon, and then I'll gear up for Wimbledon.
I think Zach's like the guy right now. Adam Burke's like gallivanting around Europe.
That's true.
Yeah, he's like in Denmark and Ireland and all over the place.
I can't even tell. Adam Burke was in Iceland for 22 hours as well. I have it on good authority.
Yeah.
All right.
Iceland, which is really nice, and Greenland is full of ice, which I learned in Mighty Ducks 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can remember anything from this show after the show today, let it be that.
Mighty Ducks 2, yes. The knuckle puck.
All right, so we all had to make picks. We did our chart where we were doing division by division and who gets to the Super Bowl and that kind of thing. But we all gave some of our prop bets on the season. Can you share one or two of yours, sir?
Yeah, I think the one that I'll get out ahead of, because I do think it's moving, is I'm really high on the Vikings again. So I have over 8.5. I have a play on them to win the NFC, and I have a play on them to win the Super Bowl. I think that, you know, we've heard Kevin O'Connell say this is the most talented team ever. I trust Kevin O'Connell. I think he might be the best coach in the league. I trust his instincts in drafting J.J. McCarthy and letting, you know, Sam Darnold walk there. I just really think we're going to get decent quarterback play from them again. I don't really see any reason not to expect that. And I absolutely love what they've done on defense, you know, adding Jonathan Allen and beefing up that defensive line a little bit. Adding Isaiah Rogers, you know, a productive cornerback to that group of corners that it was a little disappointing last season. This was a team that was second in the league in EPA per play allowed last year. For most of the season, they were top seven or so offensively. I think they're going to be really good on that side of the ball this year. I trust McCarthy. I think he has a bigger arm than people think. And I just don't really want to bet against O'Connell with this team.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear, again, this is all anecdotal, but I'm starting to hear a lot of Vikings love as well. So I'm with you that the market appears to be moving in that direction in an always crowded NFC North.
I my only thought on that is I would bet it, if you're interested in the Vikings, you bet it like Zach, aim high. Because I think there is a question still, for me, there's still a question at quarterback. But he might be great, and if he's great, I think you're flying over that 8.5.
Anything else real quick here in 20 seconds or less that you wanted to share on this? Another bet?
Yeah, I took some flyers on Coach of the Year. I think Liam Cohen, Dave Canales, like guys like that, I think they have really good shots because they coached teams last year that I think were a little bit better than their records, especially, you know, Cohen coaching a Jaguars team that was 2-8 in one score games. And I just think that he's a really good offensive play caller. It wasn't just Mayfield last year. He also got that ground game going. That team in Jacksonville does have a lot of talent. I think Trevor Lawrence can still be fixed. So I think that that's a really good shot to take. And I had one more, but I already forgot it, honestly.
Well, we'll have to just get the NFL betting guide.
That's right.
Zach, yeah. Great job on the guide. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
July 1st, coming out.